Welcome to the Monthly Trainwreck, a show entirely based upon anonymity. We only go by alias names, so our professional lives may never cross. This episode, we sit down with singer-songwriter Frankie Moscato to discuss her experience on American Idol, upcoming new music, and her fight against bullying. This episode is brought to you by our favorite sponsors, veteran-owned company Zook & Lou Hats, and our new sponsor, Natural Solutions by Nicole. You can find their link on our website, monthlytrainwreck.com, under the headline, Friends of the Show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to sit back, relax, and climb. All aboard! Welcome, train wreckers, to another exciting episode here on the Monthly Train Wreck. We have most of the train wreck with us this week. We're down one. We're down Kramer, but...
I didn't even notice he was gone.
Oh, I always know.
He's missed.
Yeah. Well, he lawyered up and he should be fine.
Our listeners and followers are for a very special treat. We have singer with us, Frankie Moscato.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for letting us fly you in here to podcast headquarters.
Sitka, Alaska.
And thank you for being here. We have a lot to talk about. American Idol, your experience there, some music that you have coming up. But first, we all know the drill. We're going to start out with our screwball whiskey shot. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
What'd you think back there? Awesome. Dad, awesome. You liked it?
It's pretty good, right?
It's good. Woo! There's not enough O's in smooth.
Well done.
We'll start with, of course, as always, Zook & Lou Hats. Maddie, they heard the call. They listened to the last episode.
Oh my gosh, finally. Am I getting a hat?
Not only did they hear you... This is, I think everybody's going to love this.
Hats. A small Haitian man to sing to us.
The fleece so beanie.
I'm excited.
Oh, cool.
Otherwise known as a fleenie.
Nice.
Nice. Everyone gets a Zookaloo fleece beanie.
Sweet. Wow. Pass them down.
Very cool.
What? Wow. Everybody. Everyone. Everybody's a winner.
You get one. You get one.
A car.
That is awesome.
Love it. Thanks, Zook & Lou.
Thank you, Zook & Lou.
These are tight, man. I like this.
I dig it.
And for the ladies at the end of the show, we have a new sponsor that you guys are going to be super stoked about. We'll introduce who that is at the end of the show.
It's Smith & Wesson. It's Lady Smith & Wesson.
They make pink guns.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, I didn't know what that was. Those are guns?
Hollywood.
I thought that was a law firm.
All right, let's get started. Frankie, we always start with the famous first question. And being that you were on American Idol, season 2, technically was like season 18.
Yes.
And we got the famous first question for you is, the year judges were Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, and
Lionel Richie. All night long.
If you had the choice to have a duet with, who would it be?
Oh my gosh.
That's a great question. Probably Luke Bryan.
Oh, very
I'm not
cool.
a country singer, but it would That's be awesome. Luke Bryan.
Do you get like backstage passes for life now that you know some of these people?
You know, I have some stories. I mean, we can get on that later, but I had the chance to get into an Elton John concert in the front row, and they ended up bringing the whole front row on stage, so I got to sing with him and touch his piano. And
you know what I'd like to hear is, what was your audition song?
Great question. Yeah, that was Bang Bang by Nancy Sinatra. So really old song, but I, you know, tried to make it my own. And
better than These Boots Are Made for Walking by Nancy Sinatra.
That's a good one. That's a great one. That I was stuck between those two.
Look it up, Hambone.
Will do. Roger.
And do we get a taste of this, the audition?
If you
we
like.
Love it. We love it.
Love of course. It. But I don't want to show off, so maybe.
Please
do.
No,
yeah,
please
no, we want, yeah, no, we want to hear.
All right.
I was 5 and he was 6. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white. He would always win the fight. Bang, bang. He shot me down. Bang, bang. I hit the ground. Bang, bang. That awful sound. Bang, bang. My baby shot me down.
Wow.
Woo. Wow. Beautiful.
It's always just mind-blowing to see someone that does something so much better than you can ever imagine doing, and that's true talent. That's incredible.
All right, Maddie, your turn. Sing for the same song, a little bang bang.
I could sing These Boots Are Made for Walking.
We'd prefer you not, truth be told. So can you walk us through a little bit of the process associated with kind of when you realized you wanted to do this?
You know, I grew up honestly telling my parents, you know, I'm never going to do reality TV shows or pageants. You know, that was just a personal preference. I wanted to be a doctor. and I just happen to love to sing as well. But I don't know, a couple years ago, it just all happened by accident. We met a scout, and it just happened. And about a week later, I Skyped, you know, right my laptop in my room, and I had about 8 producers talking to me. And about a week later, I got a phone call, and they said, "We want you on the show." And it was just like that, and we flew to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Sure.
To meet the judges.
Familiar. Love that place.
Okay, so, and that's where you go up in front of them on stage. Okay.
So when you say we met a scout, how did that happen?
Well, it was at this restaurant. I was coming there just to meet this amazing singer, Erin Baim, and she was performing, and I got to sing during her halftime, and the scout was there, and we got to know each other, and he said, you know, I can get you to get in the front of the line and speak to these producers just over the laptop instead of going through 5 auditions and traveling. And so I think everything just happened for a reason, and it was amazing how quick it all just happened.
That's incredible. Right place at the right time and doing the right thing.
And what's the time frame between Coeur d'Alene and Hollywood? What transition there?
The crazy thing is that throughout all of this, we had to keep it a secret. So Coeur d'Alene was in October, and filming, it wasn't coming out until March, and Hollywood Week was in December. And throughout that whole time frame, I could not tell not one family member. I think only my grandmother knew, and my parents. I couldn't tell anyone else. So it was hard to keep it a secret, but we did, because we signed papers, and you know, you're going to get kicked off if you tell anyone.
Is there anything on the back end, speaking of those secrets and things, I know when you compete and you have to sign non-disclosures, there are aspects of the production and aspects of things that you're not allowed to talk about even through today?
No, luckily it hasn't gone that far that you know of. I mean, maybe I'm... No, I'm just kidding, but...
Lionel Richie is something horrible. Lionel Richie has no mustache. It's fake.
Well, I guess some crazy thing that I can think of, but I'm surprised we can tell this, but it was funny. When I left, I got really sick on the plane ride. I mean, I was almost going to pass out. They had to put me in a wheelchair when we were done with the plane. Turns out that the judges also got sick. We had this fish. It was this delicious lunch. Everybody got major food poisoning. We had, so technically I had the same virus as, you know, Lionel Richie, and it was pretty cool.
or COVID.
The
or
Richie
COVID.
Virus.
Maybe it was COVID, right? Never know.
So you go and you audition in front of the judges, and did you do the same song or did you do something different?
I did the same song. You actually have to have 3, so 2 backup just in case. And I did not expect it, but Katy Perry asked more about my story, and she asked if I could sing one of my originals. So I sang I Will Rise. But if you make it, Lizzie, Lionel Richie definitely likes those oldies. So he was happy about Bang Bang. But Katy Perry is all about the heart, and she liked the I Will Rise song. That's what I sang after Bang Bang.
You alluded to your story, and it seems like a lot of the contestants have a really compelling story. How would you characterize what your kind of story was?
Honestly, at the time, my grandmother, she was diagnosed with cancer, and it was a really hard time. So, you know, I was kind of there for her and my whole community, and she was even supposed to come with me, but she couldn't. So that was kind of the story, and that's what they wanted it to be. But honestly, I learned very early on that it's not a talent show. They want the drama, and if there's 10 people that didn't make it, and you know, they're all fine, but if there's one person that's crying, they got to go right up to them first. So they want a good story, and that's okay, you know, I respect that, but it's a TV show, and
it's good TV, right?
It's kind of sad.
People want that emotional piece of it, right?
And half of me did not want to know that, because it's like all my childhood dreams, it's all gone, you know?
Is your grandma okay?
She is okay now. Okay. She's a survivor.
Yeah.
She's really happy. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. No.
Grandma Judy, she got me into piano.
What age did you start playing piano?
I was 2.5. I was about 3
oh
years
my
old.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you start with Jaws? Because that's what
Jaws,
I started with.
Yes.
Or the 2 keys in Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. Like, I never got to chopsticks. I just couldn't master it.
So you can read and write music as well?
Yes, yes.
Do you have a favorite genre? I mean, it sounds like oldies, but do you have like favorite singers or like genres, or what are you drawn to?
You know, I grew up singing for a lot of older audiences, so I started just singing. My whole set list was all oldies. Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder and Dean Martin and, you know, Ring of Fire, you know, Johnny Cash. But I love the oldies, but right now I'm a big fan of just pop music, pop rock, things that just, you know, have a good beat, you know, not a lot of swearing. I prefer, but like I said, anything with a good message.
I love that.
And Lane Hardy was the winner of your season that you were on. Are you still friends with any of the people that you went to Hollywood with?
Yeah, Lane Hardy, I got a chance to get to know him pretty well. Most of these contestants, just the other day, we were all talking on a group chat. So we're constantly, you know, commenting on each other's photos and just staying updated. And their lives, they're all just so interesting because they're all just totally different people from all around the state. So great experience.
You know, talk about, I watch a lot of those shows and I love music and listening to music. And it seemed like in the beginning, these shows were couched really as a competition. But then you sort of see, you alluded to this, that there are so many talented people and that talent is subjective on some level. So did you just feel like you were a winner regardless? Like if you went there, did you feel a lot of pressure to like, well, I'm going to make it in the top five? What was that like?
Yeah, it is all about the story. But I did leave, honestly, when I was cut. For some reason, I just didn't feel bummed out. You know, everybody's high-fiving me, and it was just, it was really thrilling. I thought, I just can't believe I got this far, and, you know, I still feel like this is for my community, and I would do it all over again, even if just meeting the judges was so humbling.
What was the hardest part?
You know, probably two things. One thing was the cold. We were out there for 14 hours each day. It's especially hard if you're not a minor, and they can make you stay up, you know, till four in the morning, and you got to get up at 7. It doesn't seem like they treat you like humans. I mean, that's what you sign up for, mm-hmm. and in the end, it's kind of all worth it. But I'd say the second thing is, they tell you to be yourself, but, you know, they kind of try to get you to read lines. But like I said, it was a great experience, and I've gotten so much great feedback from it.
How long were you out there for?
Well, Coeur d'Alene, we were out there for about a week and a half, and I got to just, you know, there were days, we had days off, and I just enjoyed time with my parents. And Hollywood week, it honestly depends when you get cut. So I was there, I'd say, about a week, and once you're done, you know, that you go right back home. You know, I don't know, this year they probably are going to do virtual again, which is interesting, but...
Are you still watching the show?
A little bit, yeah. Just kind of curious, you know, yeah.
What would you do differently?
What would I do differently?
Not sing that Molly Hatchet cover that didn't go over quite as well as we wanted it to go.
That's so interesting. I think live in the moment a little bit more and just really soak it in. I think for me, I was so tense and just, you know, practicing constantly. And I think I just would have soaked it in. And because, you know, it was done so fast. It's like, wow, it's over. So just live in the moment.
I would think that, you know, it does change you as a person, right? You grow, you evolve, and you obviously have a different perspective coming out of
totally.
It than you did going in. How did it change you?
I think I felt like I found myself more. I realized that I will not change for the cameras, and that's actually something that I talk about to my kids in my school assemblies, the importance of not changing for anybody, even for TV.
Being true to yourself.
Hmm. Exactly.
True,
great
which
message.
Is so important.
Yeah, you seem so confident. And it's really refreshing. And you did you do like plays and theater and just singing live all the time, or how did you gain your confidence? Like, where did that come from?
Well, I'm very blessed to have awesome parents. They're so encouraging, and they tell me the truth. They're my best coaches, and I think I'm reaching my 200th gig, so it's a lot of traveling and lots of performing since I was a kid. I mean, I listened to those videos. It's like, wow, I was not that good, but, you know, it was the experience. And constantly, you know, gigging every single week as just a kid. But I was in some plays and musicals.
Speaking of gigs, you now have a band that you travel with. Is that correct? How does that work? Did they find you? Were they looking for a singer? Or did you put the feelers out there, I need a band now? How did that go about?
Well, two things is right now I'm still, you know, it's I'm solo. I'm with my roadies and my keyboard and my mic, and I'm traveling. But I do have I put together a little band that God's blessed me with these amazing musicians. I could just go on about them all day. But I had a show at the Grand Oshkosh, gorgeous, gorgeous place, and I happened to know these guys, and we came together, and it was just the most wonderful night. And I can't believe that got two standing ovations. The team behind me was just incredible.
Why don't you ever get standing ovations? Like from your family or kids? Or do you think you're just not trying hard enough?
I just don't think I have talent. Like I'm really lacking.
You get to
in
identify how
department.
We can market yeah. to the adulation of the fans.
Mediocrity.
Right.
Let's give a big round of applause for mediocrity.
You and I could go on tour and just really lower the bar, I guess would be the name of the tour.
Well, so you've got all this great experience. You're so young and adorable. If you could dream big, in 10 years, where do you hope to be?
Well, I don't travel with a map or a compass. I just kind of see where God takes me. And I think people know me. They might know my story that I've always wanted to be a doctor and save sick kids. That was just always my goal. And to this day, you know, I volunteer at two different hospitals. But it's kind of changed. You know, people have encouraged me that you can still save lives being a singer by inspiring people. And I've found that people have told me that, you know, I saved them from suicide, just a music video, you know, or just from a song, which is just the most heartwarming feeling. But I think it's definitely my goal to help other kids want to reach their dreams and want to inspire other people. And hopefully I can do that to as many lives as possible.
I think that's very, very true that you can have a profound impact, especially as a performer, because as I alluded to before, you do something that I could never do. And I find that absolutely transfixing and kind of you're mesmerized by it. And we did a podcast with a stand-up comedian who actually had a similar story. And there was a guy who was dying of cancer and he was a shut-in. And his family brought him to one of this guy's shows and he laughed for a good 20 minutes straight. And then he went to subsequent shows and it pulled him out of this dark place. So I think performers, especially whether it's a singer or that type of thing, can make a huge impact on people's lives. So I think that's fantastic.
Plus, you've alluded to, it sounds like you're a woman of faith. So just standing up there, like you said, being true to yourself, being a woman of faith and witnessing to other people. I mean, I think that's really powerful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You had mentioned a music video, and I know you had the entire city of your hometown like sign up and be in a video that you did. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I had the pleasure of writing I Will Rise. It was actually with a friend of mine who was getting bullied as you know, we kind of had the same story. And we wrote it together and a local filmmaker, we made a music video and 500 people signed up to be in the film and they all wore these Be Kind t-shirts that I created. And the film ended up, you know, winning awards at the Steven Spielberg Award. And you can find it online. It's I Will Rise. With my music videos, I always want to have a story. So we showed, you know, a homeless man. So giving money to homeless man and picking up garbage and just showing how kindness, it overcomes everything and it has so much power. It's the simplest thing is to just be kind in a world where there's so much hate and war and, you know, terror.
And that ripple effect, too, of kindness. You totally, start with one act of kindness and it kind of ripples, which is so powerful.
Right. And as we speak, you know, for the past, I'd say, 48 hours, the amount of cyberbullying that's been going on right now, you can see it for yourselves on my Instagram post. 400 comments of all this hate. Really sad. These kids, and it's all kids my age that I know personally. Just a simple post that I made, you know, that it's all about character and who we are and our hearts. It defines us. And it's funny because when someone makes a post, I'm the only one that gets a notification when someone comments. But every single time they make a comment, everybody else likes it right away. So they're not doing anything but sitting there refreshing that post and just saying the most hateful things. You know, everything from her voice sucks to she thinks she's a god. And it's really sad that these people, they're so unhappy. And I can post a picture of a kitten and they're going to get upset about it
somehow.
Yeah, don't get me started on the kittens, okay? Yeah. We don't have time for my kitten hate.
Right.
This seems to be a common theme, though. Right. We had TikTok famous Bella Speech sitting in your chair and she experienced the same thing. A lot of haters out there.
But I think it's people, and this is part and parcel to where we're at as a country, people that are put on the pedestal, first thing you want to do is tear them down. And whether it's a professional athlete or it's someone who is out there doing something great, doing something inspirational to make them, we're in a culture where people want to make themselves feel better by tearing that down. And that's really wildly unfortunate. And it leaves a lot of damage in its wake, as you talked about. But the other thing we saw with Stella is that this is inspirational for this young generation of women, because we had two people now who have sat here and had great perspective and who not only didn't let it get through their skin and truly hurt them, but rather stepped outside and said, how can I use this to help others? And I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. And you know, social media is the easiest place to just attack people like me, you know, who put themselves out there.
Right.
It's sad, but you know, what's interesting is there are kids out there who don't have the love and support like I do, you know, from my parents, and they go to school and they don't find it there either. It's these kids that can make poor innocent kids almost contemplate pulling the plug.
Yeah. I mean, Maddie, that's something that we need to be conscious of when we go on the mediocrity tour. People are going to come at us from all directions. And
I get trolled.
I want us to be ready.
I get trolled daily.
Well, that's
by
me.
My kids.
Yeah, I organize
by my
that.
Friends,
I've
my
got
wife.
Bots. I've got offshore bots. I've got a series of bots you don't even like to think about. Okay, it's dangerous.
I think
we're out there.
I think Hollywood's one of our biggest trolls.
She is.
Could
and
be.
She always signs it Hollywood. And I keep telling her that's really not very quiet or secret, but here we are.
So when did you know you had a good voice? I mean, you know, it's amazing to me how many people think they have a good voice, but you actually obviously do. And when were you like, you know what? I think I've got something here.
I never thought I had a good voice, but, you know, the people around me, I've had just the most encouraging, you know, I've had my band teachers that I've been really close to, and they just tell me to keep going, and I try to surround myself with people who are, you know, I know they're so much better than I am, and I try to gain inspiration, and, you know, it's pretty pretty easy to stay humble. I don't think I'm the best at all. And that's what I try to teach to these school assembly kids, is that you don't have to be the best at something to get noticed. It's about character. And you know, that's what leads to true success. And that's what leads to sincere, lasting happiness.
Yeah, and I think there's a degree of confidence and belief in yourself that permeates everything you do, and it just comes across. And I think that's true of a lot of successful people. They truly believe in themselves, and so other people just intrinsically believe in them. Right?
I call that pizzazz. Pizzazz.
It is.
Good
and
word.
It's that new cologne you're wearing. Hi, I'm wearing pizzazz.
That could be our next sponsor. That could be our next sponsor.
Pizzazz. Little pizzazz. Smells like glue and batteries.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Frankie. On American Idol, wasn't the bullying aspect, was that part of your backstory?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit.
Yeah, that definitely was. That was part of it. I brought Be Kind t-shirts that I gave to, you know, I got to know all the security guards, and I gave them to the producers and, you know, Ryan Seacrest. But
is Ryan wearing your shirt? Did he put it on?
No, but I actually do have a story. I kind of embarrassed myself, but we don't have to talk about that.
Let's hear the Seacrest story.
Bring it out.
We'd love it.
Bring it.
Do it. He wears pizzazz, by the way.
He does for years now.
I remember getting there, and I was just so excited to meet Ryan Seacrest. I just only cared about that at the time. I was just so pumped up, and one of the producers came up to me and said, Frankie, do you want to be the first one to meet him? And so, you know, yeah, it's okay. So I was wearing these really high heels, you know, really high, and I went up the steps, and it was a long, long ride up these steps and just walking, and then suddenly I totally just roll over my ankle, and I was, you know, bleeding everywhere, and Ryan Seacrest is
what's wrong with that one?
I can show you my scars right there. And there he was, and he watched all of it, and I'm just like stumbling into him, and it was really embarrassing. I'll never forget that.
Neither will he.
My first time meeting him, but I'm talking, there was a lot of blood.
Oh, no.
Did he all over my white shoes?
So you're laying there, and you're like, "What's up?"
What's hey, up? Ryan. I don't even remember the moment. It just I saw my life flash before my eyes.
I'm gonna knock your socks off just as soon as I can get mine on. I know my ankle doesn't look right now, but I'll be back.
Was he gracious in that? I mean, how did he handle that?
He probably totally faked it. He probably thought, who is this girl? But he was so nice. He was in the middle of like a live, so I kind of ruined that.
I'd like appeared. To see that live, yeah.
Right. His head turns, oh my, oh my.
What's happening?
Her ankle looks like it's going the wrong way.
That's not right.
So tell us, you just recorded a song. You were down in Nashville. What's the name of the song?
Yeah, it's called Cheap Betray, and it's perfect for what's going on. Like I said, what's going on right now on Instagram. It's these kids who I thought were my friends, and they totally backstabbed me. And, you know, these are kids I just sent messages to the other day, just telling them how I miss them and how amazing they are. I think that these kids think that they're going to fit in if they hate Frankie. They think that it's cool to hate Frankie, and they don't care how close they are. You know, these are kids where they've been to my house and they know my family, but it's just the cool thing to not like me. That's the way that they think they'll maybe be higher than me or whatever.
That we literally heard the same thing.
Well, that's what's so hard for me, seeing you as a young girl, a young woman, having young kids. You know, the social media is out there. Everyone's doing it. I get that. But how the toxicity that's out there, it can be so wonderful. You can learn all these great things, but then we hear story after story, and it's cutting people down, you know, bullying, and that's 24/7. I applaud you. You just seem like a strong individual, and it's just like you let it, like, okay, you know, I know my true friends. I have people that support me and love me. I'm okay. But some people don't have that. Right. And that just breaks my heart as a parent, as an adult. You can use social media to be a great thing, but it's so many times it's not. Right. And I just feel so powerfully about this. And this, I know this is not about this. So I applaud you and your parents
for
just, you know, looking past that. And you're going to be better for it.
You will rise.
You will rise.
Thank
because,
you.
I mean, like, you can just see it in everything you're saying and how you hold yourself up. And it's just, you are beautiful, and what your message is to so many people. You've got it together and you're 18. Like, good for you. I know you're going to still figure out a lot of things, but you're doing so great now. So
that means a lot.
I just applaud you and your parents for that, because, I mean, at 18, I was not put together. I was a mess.
We were there.
I know.
We can testify.
And it's all true, but I just think it's great.
That's where where we got the name Trainwreck.
Trainwreck. Yeah, that's just me.
Hey, who's picking up Trainwreck? Yeah, she's not coming. There was a scene, man. All right, so you're 18. You just recorded a song down in Nashville, which we're excited about you releasing. Where do you go from here? What's the plan? I know you said it's kind of bounce and take where the Lord may take you, but...
Well, I'm going to be continuing my Frankie Moscato Foundation to fight teen suicide, you know, learning from things that I've gone through. And I'm also going to continue to travel across the state to talk to kids at schools and teach them about the importance of kindness and character and promote anti-bullying and teen suicide prevention.
And what's your website for that?
FrankieJo.com, FrankieJo.com.
Very cool.
Very nice.
You write your own music?
Yes.
Okay, and this is totally cliche, so we'll try and make it a little more specific. But, you know, you can ask what's your inspiration? How do you get that from? And obviously, some of the recent songs you've written have very specific themes and so forth. But more general than that, not only where do you get the ideas, but then how does that come together with the music? As someone who has no musical inclination whatsoever.
By the way, Hambone is moving his hands up and down like a marionette. I think that's symbolic of playing the piano.
I'm on the phone choking.
Like that cat video.
Yes.
Yeah, playing the piano.
Sir, you've never had any formal piano training, have you? No. I'm just mashing at keys.
So is it lyrics first, then music, or lyrics and music together?
Well, it honestly, a lot of times it's the melody that just comes in my dream. So I wake up at about 2 a.m. and it's like, oh my gosh, I just came up with this idea in my dream, and I record it, and I know that it's time to write a song. And when the words come, it's from anger, something that's going on at the time, and it's usually from bullying. You know, I lean away from relationships, and you know, there's tons of songs for that. But I think I think that I'm meant to write motivational songs at this point, I think. And yeah,
when Maddie wakes up at 2 a.m, he says things like, where are my pants, and why am I at the YMCA? Things like that.
Where's the bathroom?
Why is it wet right here?
See, now she's there getting the hang of it.
Frankie's on board.
Invariably the guest will get hold of Kramer's not here, so you're getting the beat down.
So do us a favor. We'd love to hear a little bit of your new song.
Oh,
sure. If you're good with that.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
To quote on it. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know what that was. Sorry. Beautiful. All right. Dark, cheap, betray, but I'm much stronger than the people say. Look, I am not afraid. Seasons change, now you know I'm not the featherweight from long ago. Look, I am not afraid.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Holy macaroni. That's so great.
Bravo.
I'm not the featherweight from long ago. That's a great line.
Oh, thank
so
you.
So did you write that yourself or co?
Yes.
Oh, that's
you're going to want to copyright before Maddie takes that. It's his new ringtone.
I'm pretty sure I said that yesterday. I'm not the featherweight.
This producer, though, he creates magic, and he's got an amazing resume.
How did you hook up with him?
Well, that was all by coincidence as well. That was from a friend of ours, and we got to meet her singing and got to know her family, and there he was. And now we're traveling back and forth to Nashville, and it's amazing. But yeah, this guy, if you've heard the song before, Time Machine, you're going to love this one even more.
What's Nashville like? I've never been.
Neither have I.
Should go. I mean, it's like the mecca for music. And like you were alluding to country before, and I don't listen to a lot of country, but I said this like a year ago. I'm like, I feel like all the great writers, and I love the stories behind country music. I feel like they do such a much better job than a lot of other genres. So tell me about Nashville.
Oh, it's beautiful. The scenery's gorgeous, and everybody there is just really nice. Everybody's so heartwarming, and yeah, a lot of great music, lots of great stories, a lot of country singers, but everybody there is just, they've got this spiritual vibe, and you just feel really safe in Nashville.
There's a lot of support for musicians. I mean, it's kind of an enclave that they can go into, and you're going to find a lot of support from different angles, not just country, rock.
Sure, yeah. You know.
And where do you go to record this?
I'm in Nashville, here I am.
Yeah.
Big studio, right in his house.
Oh, wow.
Just like podcast headquarters. Nice.
In Sitka, Alaska.
Sitka.
So you have the song
is
done.
Is that a polar bear?
Right?
Yes.
We're going to go whale watching later. So how many takes to do the song, do you think?
How many takes? We're recording?
Like, yeah, like ballpark. We talking like you had to sing that sucker 10 times, 4 times, 100 times? We need to know what we're looking forward to in our bustling career.
Mediocrity.
Well, I do a lot of prayers, you know, like, please God, let this be smooth. But this last one, I'm not going to lie, it was anything but smooth. Everything that could have possibly gone wrong. The air conditioner broke and the printer wasn't working. The piano didn't work at first. It was really funny, but I think it all happened for a reason. We were supposed to record two songs and that couldn't happen from that small time that we had. Yeah, so it depends on the day. I mean, sometimes we can run through it really fast, but other times it's like, do it again. Okay, that doesn't sound edgy enough. You sound too nice, or you sound, you know, 5 minutes later and I'm still doing one word.
I'm going to ask your dad, who's in the background there, does she take direction well?
She's usually in charge.
So you know you're making the call, huh? I don't feel this is going the right way.
Maybe this is the friction I'm having with my daughter. I should let her be in charge, is what you're saying.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Does she have any discernible talents?
Yeah, when I had all these guys, I mean, that was our band, was all these middle-aged men. They were thinking, who is this 17-year-old talking to me?
Like, possessed.
But eventually we all became friends, and, you know, now they're like my brothers.
Yeah, trust in
so
the singer.
So are you doing vocals separate and they're playing the tracks in your ear, or do you get the whole band in there?
No, there's no band, not for this song at least.
Okay.
I go for a little bit less organic and more synthesized and fun, because I think that seems like it's what the teens like nowadays. I mean, I would prefer organic. I mean, that'd be great. But as much as I still want to do things that I love and what I think sound good. Yeah, so I'm in a small little area just with my microphone and singing with that music in my ear. And like you said, sometimes we're just doing it over and over again. There's one point of the song that is coming out where I have to say something. I'm saying, all you want is to be me. You know, you say that, call yourself a hater whenever I'm not around, but... So all you want is to be me. We had to do that. We spent like a whole hour just saying that over and over again. All you want is to be me.
One sentence, yeah.
Totally.
Looking for enunciation and all those good things.
Right. You have an incredible, obviously, audio engineer that tickles their fingers and dance across the...
Here come the marionettes, people.
across the board here. We have an incredible audio engineer in S2H as well. Does mm-hmm. your guy ever forget to hit record at all? Does that ever happen to you? It's at this moment that I look at Scotty.
Wait, let me just double check. We're going.
Is that kind of confirmation midway through the conversation that you want to have?
Good thing you said something 40 minutes in. Just good.
I know, right?
Do over.
Why is that red light flashing that says no go?
I've got a totally random question. Just learning more about you, going beyond music. What's your happy place? You want to go, you've had a lot of stressful, a lot of crazy things going on in your life. What's your happy place?
That's a good question, Miss Hollywood. Honestly, a couple people have asked me this. It's a little weird.
No, it's your happy place.
It's TJ Maxx. I'm gonna double down and say TJ Maxx.
It's just actually, good. Actually, it's Kmart.
Good values, Kmart as well.
Marshall's quality product. It's gotta be up there.
I have a little weird obsession of just organizing my closets and vacuuming. My parents think I'm crazy. But I mean, that's what, if I'm in a bad mood and I just want to vacuum, and I probably redone my parents' closets like 10 different times a month.
I love it.
Wearing leisure suits.
They usually come home, you know, and I've got everything from the cabinets all over the counters because I just want to redo it. And
is that calming for you to organize?
Totally.
Okay.
Yes.
So having control of something and just it's very calming.
Sure.
Awesome.
Hollywood has no idea what that's
about.
I have no idea.
Your closet. I have
back to
like downtown Beirut.
Do we need to show you what train a wreck. Vacuum looks like? Is it?
I love vacuuming. That's the only thing.
Oh,
I
really?
I get the vacuuming thing. When I'm stressed out, I vacuum.
Are you still in that vacuuming league?
Yeah, I won. And
yeah, it's funny. My wife is the same way. Oh my gosh. I just get out of the way. You know, I just get out of the way. She loves to clean and organize and vacuum and gash.
My dad loves golf. I love extreme ironing.
Nice. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
I got a lot of shirts, Frankie. I'll bring them over. Dry cleaner will be very upset.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
This is maybe a good time to introduce you. You had mentioned her name earlier.
Lizzie's a friend of the show.
Okay.
She's
a huge fan of the show.
Correct. Huge fan of the show. Big subscriber. Hit that button. Smash
one
it.
One of three.
So, five stars, please.
Right. And when I heard we were going to be speaking with you, I knew that Lizzie was a performer and is really interested in kind of seeing where this goes and hoping to understand how this all works. And so I thought this would just be an incredible opportunity for her to sit in and listen to this. And I would imagine it's been pretty eye-opening and interesting thus far. Do you have any questions?
Well, first, I just want to say, I want to be you. I want to be you. And you just have the dream life.
Like, you are so sweet. Well, thank you.
Get in line behind Hollywood. She wants to be her, too.
No, I just want to know, like, how you first started, you wanted to, like, take this to the next level, like, after Idol, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I really clung to mentors, so you want to really take advantage of that. And, you know, and once you find those people that really care about you and that have gone through all of this, you want to go under their wing and learn from them. And I've got some really great coaches in Nashville and L.A., and they've told me, you know, if I really care about college, and they said I should go into business, and that's what I'm doing. So, you know, great coaches have kind of helped show me where to go, and they've encouraged me to stay into music. So
you're still in school?
I just graduated high school, yeah. It's an online school. I started 3 years ago, but an outstanding experience.
And you're going to college then?
Yes.
That's interesting.
For business, you said?
Yes.
All right.
Business administration.
Take accounting classes so you can count all that cash and make sure people aren't skimming off the top, Hambone.
All right.
Dang it.
So it sounds like you've met a lot of supportive people. Have you met kind of some shysters too? Is it easy to distinguish between the two?
Pretty well. I think I definitely recommend the book Give and Take, which...
S2H,
his brother, very kind, gave my dad the book to read. And we, like he said, we read it as a family and we learned about takers. And you know, we're just not about that. But thanks to that book, we were able to better identify who's a taker. And we try to cling to the givers. And, you know,
I was going to be shocked if S2H gave you a book because I didn't think he read. But you said his brother gave it to you. Yeah. So that makes a lot more sense.
I'm more of a short story guy.
Right.
There are a lot of pop-up books strewn about the studios here.
More coloring books. I could draw something for you if you'd like.
Lizzie, so you tell us where you are in your journey right now.
So I just finished high school too, and I'm off to Charleston. Wow. And I want to major in communications because I just want to get my name out there. I know your name, and like you're famous in my eyes. I just want to know how to get those connections. I want to go to Nashville and LA. Like, that's so cool.
Well, thank you. You're very kind. I think... Well, I read a lot. I love to read a lot of books about business and the music business. I mean, I'm very lucky. My parents they're entrepreneurs. I write a lot of mission statements and goals, so it sounds like you've got a ton of goals. So write that down, and you're going to find that if you write these down and you really have that true vision, where do you want to go? And it can even be short-term goals. You're going to find yourself achieving them. I mean, I was just reading the other day goals that I wrote when I was 10 years old, and I've already done half of them. It's really amazing how just writing something down can help you, and share your goals with other people too. You know, if you want to lose 20 pounds, don't keep it to yourself. If you're going to share it with other people, you have a better chance of achieving that.
Be accountable.
I'm right here.
But can you talk about what you've done with American Idol?
Yeah, so there's online auditions. It's all virtual, which is different, not what I thought it was going to be. But I did try out, and I did get a call back, so we're going to see what happens. It's soon, but I think that's all I'm allowed to say about that. I'm just really excited.
Congratulations.
And yes, much to you. So you had the Skype thing. This is going to be via Zoom, and I think that in and of itself is a little intimidating. I mean, how do you steel yourself for a moment like that? How do you create calm and just
She vacuums.
Sure?
Hello.
Hello.
That was really well done, Hollywood. I like the cut of your jib.
Finally, but write that down. That was one.
Yeah,
one for Hollywood.
One for. What does that look like so that as she's going in there? Because invariably, Lizzie, you're going to be nervous, man. I know I would, but.
I'm nervous for you. Right. Does that help? Is that helpful, by the way? I'm so nervous for you.
Yeah, what do you do? How do you get comfortable?
Well, I do get nervous, but I honestly, I pray a lot. I'm always praying, and especially before performances, I even pray, you know, don't let me be nervous. Help me be confident. But in the end, just know that there's bigger things. You know, what could possibly go wrong? You know, really, I think that everything is meant to be, and you just seem like you could just do so well in life. You seem like just a sweet girl. Anybody's going to love you. And if you screw up, everybody screws up, you know. You have to expect that's happened to me so many times.
I think this was meant to be, because the chances of us having someone who is on American Idol, who got a golden ticket from Luke Bryan, and here we actually know someone who got a call back from
who's
American
in the
Idol,
grinder
and was able to come and meet you today. That was meant to be.
Yeah, that's incredible. S2H is a big believer in these sorts of things cosmically.
I am.
I agree.
What's the golden ticket? How does that work?
they've got, you know, this whole stack of tickets right on the desk. And if you get at least two yeses from the judges, then they give you a golden ticket and they say you're going to Hollywood. And you think that it's over, you know, once you get that. But all night you're just doing interviews. You have to take this 400 question test, and they put you in, and they put you in the same room with the losers as well. And you have to sit there and watch them cry. It's so sad.
Oh. Pam Bone and I are in that room all the time.
So we're holding this ticket, and we're stuck in a little trailer, and right across from me is this poor girl, and she's bawling. Just so, so sad. But interview after interview. But I never knew this. You don't keep the ticket.
Really? No.
But I'm not going to lie. I regret it. When we left, we thought we so could have just stuck it in our pocket, because they just kind of grab it when you're done. But
I would have eaten it. I would have just eaten it and been like, sorry.
So you don't get to keep the tickets. It's crazy. So
because they need to recycle it for the next show? Is that
isn't
like,
it
what?
Paper?
That's ridiculous.
What's it made
that's
out
like,
of?
That's so bizarre. They're, like,
they're actually
the ultimate sign of.
They're owned by Wonka Industries, and they're on loan. So possible.
That's interesting.
So another thing that you said, which I found really interesting, doing songs that would appeal to those different audiences and or those different judges and their different likes or dislikes. So you've got the pop music, you've got kind of the adult contemporary, you've got the standards and the classics. So that's probably a good idea, right?
Yeah, knowing who your audience is going to be. Yeah, and totally, you've got it right. I was contemplating, you know, should I do a pop song? Or I didn't think I wanted to do an oldie, but one of my coaches did say, I think Lionel Richie would really like that. And so that's why I stuck to Nancy Sinatra.
And did you get a yes from all three?
You know what? Katy Perry, that day they were telling us in the interviews, okay, guys, everybody get in the circle and tell each other that Katy Perry is going to be kind of hard on us today. So we were telling each other this, and I looked on the clipboard, and it says who Katy Perry is going to say no to on for each person. They've got it all planned.
Is it planned out? Like, is it that it's written out like that?
Yes, they've got the script, and the producers are actually in charge. So Hollywood Week, after I performed, the producers came and told them what they're going to say. So Katy Perry, as she was saying, you seem a little too nice. I don't think you're ready for this harsh, you know, whatever. But when I was finished, I just thought, I just feel so privileged to be here, and I got to be with my parents. Yeah. And
well, it was weird because when I did an acapella version of Baby Got Back, they all said no so quickly. I was like, wow, your vocal delivery is much faster than mine. I don't hold a grudge either.
I think Hambo's name was on that whiteboard that said Katy Perry's like going to be a little off times.
What is moron?
That bumps me out, though, that it's scripted out. They made it.
I was
they
heartbroken.
Make it seem
yeah.
like
Maddie,
they're...
don't tell her about pro wrestling. You're gonna blow her mind. You're
wrestling
blow her
is
mind.
Too. No, but they make it seem like it's they're deciding on the spot. But that's not
have they, true they've listened though, and they probably just spreading it around as to who has to give the bad news or.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how they do it. It's really a TV show, but it proves that if there was only 30 kids that day auditioning in Coeur d'Alene, but it took the entire day from 7, and since I'm a minor, I couldn't stay until, I think, after midnight. But only 30 kids, and so I'm not good at story problems, but, you know, hours in between each kid. And
one train was going 30 miles an hour.
Leaving Minneapolis, traveling 17...
It was bizarre because some kids, you know, would have 5 minutes in between, but then they said, you know, Frankie, you're going to go right now. And they brought me up and I was all nervous, and 3 hours went by and they had to take their dinner break. And so it's very unpredictable and a very interesting experience. But yes, the judges are told what to say, and they give them a little background of each contestant. But
I mean, it makes sense a little bit. Unlike us, we're just stumbling over each other. We have no script. I mean,
exactly.
It's probably a little more helpful for the show. What's it like to take care of your vocals when you're staying up so late, you're singing over and over and over, and then you're trying to be A+ as best you can be? I mean, what do you do to take care of your vocals?
That's great. So this is really interesting. I've never actually shared this before.
She vacuums.
How did you know?
I smoke Benson and Hedges all night long. I find that really soothes my esophageal region.
Welcome to Flavor Country.
I was asking all the producers, do you have an ironing board?
Yeah, and see?
Yeah.
But, hey, Seacrest, that shirt's a little wrinkly. Let me borrow those pants.
I'll stumble onto you with my bloody foot, and I'll iron out your shirt.
So I remember for Hollywood Week, we get there and all the kids, they're scrambling. They're all really stressed out. And it was super early in the morning, very hot day. And we all had our big heavy suitcases and we were brought in by the producers. And it was all pretty unorganized. It was like, where do we meet? And other kids were coming in. So they said, okay, everybody, you got to go upstairs and set your stuff upstairs. And there were no elevators. So we had to go up these really long, I feel like I'm just saying the same story, but so we get up there and everybody's like all tired out. We're going to pass out and get there. And they say, okay, guys, you got to bring it all back down. We're going to go in the basement, actually. So we go back downstairs with our suitcases, all these poor contestants, you know, really getting in that workout. So we go in the basement and they say, oh, okay, we've got an issue here. We're going to have to go up back to the middle area. And the whole day was like this. It was just constant battle. They weren't giving us a chance to even warm up. And these contestants were full of anxiety. And wow. I was just trying to stay calm. And we were realizing that they are purposely trying to stress us out because they wanted the drama. They wanted us to be, they didn't want us to warm up. So it was crazy.
And all you keep thinking is, why are there so many stairs in this building? And why do I wear heels?
This is like Bud's training all of a sudden, right? Let's just keep them disoriented.
They had one big rule is singers, you're not allowed to warm up because you don't want anybody to hear you when we're recording. But I made a really good friend with one of the producers that took care of us. And he kind of whispered to me and said, all right, Frankie, I'll secretly put you in this little corner. I'll let you warm up a little bit. So that was really nice. So maybe, you know, Lizzie, you're probably going to get so far and make friends with those producers because there's some really good-hearted people out there.
Bring a stack of 20s. I'm not going to lie to you. That's the way I handle these situations. Rupert, is it Rupert? Give me a closet. I need a broom closet.
No, my dad's saying something.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. We brought gifts.
Nice. Yeah, we brought cheese and chocolate.
I was going to say brats.
Smart.
My name is Frankie from Wisconsin. I got some brats. Who wants brats?
Who wants the tailgate? I'm going to fire up the grill out back. We're going to have some brats and some
carts. I brought some milk from There Goes.
That's right. Do you think that you would, this maybe the answer is easy, but do you think you would be here today if you hadn't gone on Idol? I mean, did you think that this catalyzed you, that this really galvanized your desire and your passion, or do you think you would have pushed through that of your own desire?
Like I said, I'm a strong believer that everything happens for a reason. I mean, I believe that it's given me the confidence, and I certainly wouldn't have gotten as many opportunities, you know, if I hadn't done it. So it was very helpful, and I'm very blessed. And like you asked before, I did make a lot of friendships, and yeah, I don't think I would be here today.
She would not be with us today if it weren't for American Idol.
I'm sorry, Frankie.
You're so
sorry.
Lucky that you made it all the way here.
And I gotta be honest, that check that S2H gave you, that's not gonna clear. We don't know who the Rodriguez's are or how we found their checkbook.
We found that checkbook in the parking lot.
Yeah, we were also brought together cosmically to disappoint people across the audiophile landscape, as it were. And you're the only shining moment we've got so far today. Mediocrity. The failed middle-aged boy band.
Well, I'm not going to lie. These hats were the highlight of my day.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what. So, Zook and Lou, and you guys, okay, this is a good time to bring out
our
sponsor.
Drum roll. This is going to be pretty exciting. All right, hold on.
He's going to the closet. I don't know what's going to come out of that closet.
Who's coming out of there?
Clown.
Oh, it's in a box.
Pencils.
Oh, Breaking Bad brand meth.
Soap.
Oh. This is a new part of the show called Guess What's in the Box from movie 7.
This is why the ladies are really going to love this. A fan of the show sent a sample box and wants to be a sponsor, and it's Natural Solutions by Nicole.
Thank you.
What do you mean by natural?
What do you mean by natural? All right, natural. So here.
It's weed.
So her biggest seller is magnesium cream.
Ooh, yeah. People are very magnesium deficient.
That was the name of my third album. Here's magnesium cream.
Coconut oil face polish.
Ooh, that could come in handy. Yeah.
Why just the ladies? I mean, I like to be clean.
This is true.
You know? Well,
this smells so good. And the best part.
Thank you, Nicole.
This one tastes
That's why good. I said soap. Oh, my God.
I just smelled the microphone. No, there's no smell there.
Everything from face cream to bug spray.
Wow, nice. I like that.
You guys have to smell this.
Citronella. I've got a lip balm
here. We need
here.
It in Alaska.
Smell this.
In Sitka.
This is the best smelling bug spray.
Does she have any all-natural
all
bear repellent?
Wow, that's really good. I can smell eucalyptus.
Smells terrific.
Is that eucalyptus? That's lemongrass?
Lemongrass at this point. Smells like that.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I'm going to spray some of that on.
What did S2H say that is?
Ooh,
lemongrass.
Wow.
No, bug spray.
Bug spray.
It's bug spray. Smell the bug spray.
Stings the eyeball.
See if I was going to say, see if it stings your eyeball.
Oh, there it is. Don't spray an eyeball. How conscientious of them. They didn't know they were up against. That smells lovely.
I think it smells great.
So these are the samples that she actually makes, and samples for all of our guests.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Tell
Did
me
we hear back from Lamborghini yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. I just want a sample? Yeah.
So thank you, Natural Solutions by Nicole.
Yes.
Thanks, Nicole.
So any last questions for Frankie?
Frankie, what are you listening to nowadays? What's in your MP3 player?
No, I love Sia. I love anything. I mean, I wake up in the morning and I listen to Bob Marley all morning. Yes. That's just my playlist. I have a little tradition where when I'm writing music for the first 15 minutes beforehand, I listen to hard pop rock, you know, Sia and One Republic and Maroon 5. And that's what just kind of motivates me.
Do you have like one song? I remember before I used to play sports, I used to have a song that would pump me up. Do you have something like a song that just gets you going?
For what it's worth, Hollywood's was On Eagle's Wings. Really just fired her up.
That was number two.
Really, yeah, there's one. It's definitely the remix of Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
In a round, as performed by the Tibetan monks.
No,
you just have an eclectic list.
I just keep a playlist on Spotify, but that's a good question. But, you know, it's too hard. There's so many good songs out there.
Do you have any other songs you're working on now?
I've got probably about 400 different videos of song ideas on my phone that I got to go through and delete and just work on. But, yeah, I've had a chance during this COVID-19. I've also had the chance to just write a bunch of songs, things that are just going on. I mean, watching the news, I try not to watch it, but there's so much to write about, and I feel like one of the reasons maybe why God put me here is to just keep writing some songs and hopefully saving some lives.
I wish there was a better way to phrase this question, but your last meal, what would you have?
Chinese.
Chinese
noodles, yes.
Interesting. We don't get a lot of that. What particular dish? Do you have one that you love? Or
I love lo mein noodles. Funny thing is, I've always just loved it. I mean, every single birthday I have, I go out for Chinese. But apparently, I was named by my parents in a Chinese restaurant. So maybe
that's why. That's why you love them.
I'm an egg foo young guy myself. Love the egg foo young.
Yeah, we know.
If you could give a piece of advice to me, like an aspiring to be you, what would it be?
Oh, that's so great.
Don't even try. There's only one of me.
Quit
now. There's not enough slots in the system.
Don't try, yes. Oh, shoot.
Best advice I ever got was don't sweat the petty things and don't pet the sweaty things.
Oh, that's really great. I got to write that down.
That's great advice.
And that was from my attorney in court. We lost the case.
I was going to say, you don't have your kids anymore, do you?
No.
They work in a coal mine in Virginia.
So when I started performing, you know, it was a lot of casual. So lots of weddings and even funerals and corporate gigs, lots of parties. And I still do some of that nowadays. But now I'm more towards just corporate gigs and shows. So I think the biggest thing I learned is there's going to be times where, you know, I was invited to sing at some little event, you know, like a little party. And it's just this little restaurant or a bar where I'm in the corner. And I'm thinking, why did I do this? And, you know, I want to just kind of let it all out of how upset I am. And there's times where nobody wants to even watch you sing, or they tell you, turn it down. And that's how it was a lot when I was younger. But I realized that if this wouldn't have happened, then that wouldn't have happened. Right. You know, everything, all the dots connect. And you realize that as you grow up. And, you know, so everything happens for a reason. Never say no to even the littlest things. I mean, we have countless stories of just awful. Everything that could possibly have gone wrong goes wrong. You know, I can remember I did a school assembly with this other organization, and the microphone went out, and I was standing there for 40 minutes. The video wasn't working, and I had to entertain these kids with no microphone, and, you know, everything just crumbled. And another thing is, I could have just been upset the whole time, but I tried to have a good head on my shoulders
roll
and a good
smile. You gotta roll with it.
And it turned out that the teachers at the very end, they brought us all in and all the kids in one room, and I got to sing music for them, and we all listened to my CD, and they said that happened to be even more fun than it could have ever been, and they were really impressed by our attitude, you know, my team. And so it's my parents always say, save it for the car, because you're always on.
No, that's the second time that we heard the just say yes.
Right.
I want to be judicious about what you're saying yes to, Maddie.
No, but the last guest was all about saying yes to
Rob, the manager. Yes, yeah. He said there's countless times that I have not known where the rabbit hole was going to go, but I said yes, and I felt safe, and I did it, and great things happened.
What advice would you have to anyone who's being bullied right now? Like, even online, people that are experiencing kind of what you've gone through?
Yeah, one thing that I do talk about to these kids is that the secret to lasting happiness is going out there and making other people happy. You know, if don't just stay and eat pizza and sit on the couch. You know, like everything that's going on with me right now with the Instagram posts, I could have easily just, you know, my parents could have said, you know, just eat some mac and cheese and it's okay. You know, it's okay, Frankie. But they encourage me. They say, go out for a run. You don't need this. You know, these people are so unhappy, and go out and go to the homeless shelters and help some homeless people that are in need. You know, you're so fortunate. Go out and run 3 miles, you know. So for every hate comment that I get, I try to add another 10 minutes of a good workout, or I try to turn that around and do something positive, because that will lead to true happiness.
What I'm hearing is that in lieu of actual physical activity, a close approximation is mac and cheese,
right? It's close.
the comfort food.
With soy sauce, actually.
When feeling down, that's right.
Frankie, I love that you just said that. I read that years ago, and it just said, whenever you're feeling bad about yourself, give to others. And it just changes your perspective about life, right?
Totally.
So I really love that message.
Oh, thank you.
I was going to say, I think you had some great parents that have done a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Dad back there, nice work.
Mm-hmm. Papa John, yeah.
You should
shout
be very
out.
Well proud.
Done. Yeah.
The world needs more Frankies.
Also, anyone at this table who is a parent would like to attend your seminar at the Ramada by the airport, Parenting 101, How to Be Better?
I've got a 13-year-old daughter. Can I ship her your way for maybe a year or two? Is that wrong?
No, but continue to do all those great things.
Yeah.
I wish you success with your music career. I think that's awesome. But your heart is huge, too, and like just spreading that message. Like, I'm just a big believer in being kind and just spreading that anti-bullying. Like, just that message, too, is so, so important. So keep up all that great thing.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And I'm so honored to be amongst these amazing superstar right
now. Other than Lizzie.
Lizzie, she was about to use the word talentless hacks. It wasn't the first person to say it. Won't be the last.
I've never been in this level of mediocrity in my life, says Frankie.
Can we get a quote for the back of the mediocrity album? When I thought it couldn't go lower, there it went. Frankie.
Well, thank you for letting us fly you in here to podcast headquarters.
Sitka, Alaska.
And thank you for being our guest. You were great.
You're awesome.
Thanks for coming. I think you should sing us out. One last song here.
All right. You and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. Where there is love, I'll be there. I'll reach out my hand to you. I'll have faith in all you do. Just call my name and I'll be there.
Wow. Frankie Moscato, ladies and gentlemen. That was terrific. Thank you.
That was awesome.
Oh, man. Can't wait. All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Thank you to the train wreck. And until next time, train wreck out.
Peace out.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Monthly Train Wreck. And thank you to our sponsors, Zook & Lou Hats and Natural Solutions by Nicole. Please subscribe on either iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Google Podcasts to listen for our next extraordinary interview by 5 ordinary people. Make sure to check out our website, monthlytrainwreck.com, as we are soon to be your favorite podcast.